52 Reading Plan, Audio Edition, Day 10. So today we're going to do something a little different. Instead of having the standard recorded audio, today I will be recording the audio, reading the Bible reading. This is done for a couple of reasons. Number one is because I want to show people that, you know, hey, some of the time, man, you're not going to have it all figured out. You're going to make mistakes. When you're reading God's word, things may not work the way that you want them to work. You may not be able to pronounce all the names, but that's okay. So today what I plan on doing is just reading God's word. There'll be times that I'll pause for sure to make sure, just kind of emphasize different things. So I hope that you enjoy it. I hope that this helps you. So we'll go ahead and get started. But before we get started, let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, it is so good to read your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you've done and everything that you continue to do for us. And Lord, I pray as we read your word today that you would speak to us and that you would guide us. We love you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, today's reading is from Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through Mark chapter 3, verse 12. So grab your Bibles. This morning I'm reading out of the ESV Bible. It's just one of the ones that I like reading out of. I will say this by way of Bible translation. The best Bible translation is the Bible that you will read. If it's ESV, if it's New Living, if it's NIV, CSB, whatever it may be, whichever one you'll read is the best Bible translation. So let's get started here. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The temptation of Jesus. The Spirit, capital S, immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Let me stop right there. So one of the things that I want you to take note of is 40 days. Remember, 40 days, that's the significance in the Bible. 40 days, Moses was on the mountain for 40 days receiving the Ten Commandments. Also, anyone that God ever uses, God takes to the desert. You look at it. Moses, David, Paul, Jesus. Anyone that God ever uses, God takes to the desert. All right, let's continue on. Jesus begins his ministry. Verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Jesus calls his first disciples. Verse 16. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately, let me pause right there. Notice how many times in this text that we'll read today that Mark uses the word immediately. See, Mark's gospel is different than Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel. The gospels are called the synoptic gospels. What does that mean? The synoptic gospels, they all tell the same story of Jesus, but they tell it from different angles. They're not contradicting each other. They're just showing it from a different angle. You have to understand that Matthew wrote his gospel to a Jewish audience to prove that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. That's not Mark's audience as he's writing his gospel. Mark is a quick account of Jesus's ministry, of Jesus' life. So that's why you'll see Mark is only 16 chapters, whereas Matthew and Luke are longer. Okay, let's get back to it. Verse 18. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boats mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Let me just make a quick note about that. It cost James and John a lot to follow Jesus. James and John, they owned a fishing business. Notice how it says there, they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. They own a fishing business. So when Jesus called them to follow him, they gave up a lot. The same is true in your life. When you decide to follow Jesus, you give up a lot, but you gain so much more. So just trust in him. Verse 21, Jesus heals a man with an unclean spirit. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all of the surrounding region of Galilee. Jesus heals many. Verse 29. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Jesus preaches in Galilee, verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next town, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went out throughout all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus cleanses a leper. Verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Mark chapter 2. Jesus heals a paralytic. And when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Let me just pause right there. The four friends would not allow anything to keep them from Jesus. Are you that determined to not allow anything to keep you from Jesus? See, what looked like obstacles, they overcame them. In your walk with Christ, as you attempt to follow Christ, there's going to be things that's going to come your way that's going to try to steer your attention, your focus, and your time that you should be or want to be spending with Jesus. There's going to be things that's going to come your way. But you have to have that resolve, that determination, that no matter what, you're going to stay focused. That's what those four friends had, because they wanted their friend healed. Let's continue on. Verse 6. Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they were questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Jesus calls Levi, verse 13. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowds were coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as he reclined at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to the disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Let me just pause right there. Tax collectors were considered the scum of society because of how they used and abused people. So tax collectors were not thought of very, very highly at all. So that's why they would make the reference of tax collectors and sinners. Okay, let's continue on. Verse 17. And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." A question about fasting. Verse 18. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and the people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskin. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskin." Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 23. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the Pharisee, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat, and also gave to those who were with him. He said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.' So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." What is Jesus talking about here? You have to understand that the Pharisees had somewhere in the neighborhood of 600 plus laws that they tried their very best to keep because they felt that by keeping the laws that they earned favor with God. And one of the things was the Sabbath. They did nothing on the Sabbath. They did not lift a finger. They did absolutely nothing on the Sabbath. And so that is what Jesus was talking about here about the Sabbath. Chapter 3, a man with a withered hand. Now in chapter 3, we're only going to read to verse 12. Okay. A man with a withered hand. Again, he entered the synagogue and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, okay, think about this. He said to them, he told the man, he said, now come here, I'm going to paint this picture for you. He said to the man, he said, hey, come here. Now, Jesus turns his attention to them. Who is them? Okay, we got to keep our reading in order. Them, the Pharisees, it's the same thing that's happening. Okay, he turned to them. And he said this, where am I at? Verse 4, he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? All right, that's the question that he posed to the Pharisees. Okay, he says, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? Look at their response. But they remained silent, or they were silent, is what the ESV says. But they were silent. Wow. And he looked around at them with anger. Think about this. Let's set this scene, if you would. A man with a withered hand. Jesus sees him, okay? And Jesus is looking. He's like, this man has a withered hand, okay? And I have the power to heal, okay? And he says, is it lawful to do good or bad on the Sabbath, to do good or harm? Okay, and he asked them the question. But verse 5, he says, he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. They were mad that Jesus healed on the Sabbath, that Jesus did good on the Sabbath. You know, there's other places in the Bible where they said, hey, there's 6 days that you could be doing good, but not on this day. Jesus says he is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus, see, here's the thing that I want to point out, and I promise you we'll finish out the reading. When Jesus moves, or the Spirit of God, when God moves, most of the time is not in ways that we will expect it or that we would want. But we have to stay focused on God and allow the Spirit of God to show us what it is that he is doing. See, they were not focused. They was focused on their laws. They was focused on what they thought the Messiah should do, what they thought the Messiah should look like. So they wasn't focused. It was right there in front of them and they missed it. All right, let's finish out our reading for today. A great crowd follows Jesus, verse 7 through 12. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea, I think that's how you say it, and from beyond the Jordan and from around Tyre and Sidon. When the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him, and he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. For he had healed many people, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. Think about that last section, verse 11. And when the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, you are Son of God. The unclean spirits knew who he was, but the Pharisees, the religious leaders who knew God's word, did not know who he was. Wow, what a sad fact. As we close today, I just want to reiterate this. When God moves, most of the time is not how we think he should move. and is not how we want him to move. But we have to stay focused on the Spirit of God. We have to allow the Spirit of God that's living in us to show us what it is that God is doing. Because so many times we have things in our mind of things that we want God to do and how we want God to do it, but God is not going to do that. So we have to allow God to do what only he can do, however he wants to do it. How do we do that? Number one, we stay in God's word. Number two, we stay in prayer. Number three, we stay around godly people who love Jesus more than we do. Why do I say that? Why do I say love Jesus more than we do? Because, man, we want to be striving. We want to be continuing to get better every single day. God bless you. Thank you for listening to the reading today. And let me close us out in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray that your word would just have its way in our hearts, in our minds, and in our life today. We love you, Father. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I would encourage you to look at the questions that Caleb, Morgan, Sydney, Savvy, and Isaiah has prepared for you. And I pray that you would look through those, that you can find them on our website, jeffbc.com, our student ministry, and then scroll down, it's 52, and that's what those questions are. I would encourage you to journal your answers to those and take your reading deeper. God bless you.